something that's on my heart as a dad, I just want to bring you into a little bit. It's my youngest daughter supposed to start school at Umsol tomorrow. And she has hit a big snag and had a relapse of a condition that runs alongside of her autism. And so she is really struggling right now. We are aiming at January and asking the Lord to heal her, to give the doctors that are giving her lots of care real wisdom as we figure out the path forward. But it's a rough week, kind of watching her descend over the course of the past week and having that knowledge that school was supposed to start tomorrow. So if you think to pray for my family this week, just pray for Sarah's healing and I'll just ask very specifically, help me remember that God's timing is perfect and that nothing is off schedule. Even though I am experiencing disappointment, He has things under control. So thank you for that. We're looking at John 14, where we've been the last couple times I've been up here. Today we're looking at verses 15 through 24. And I have titled this, Meet the Spirit, because Jesus is going to introduce the Holy Spirit to his disciples in a new way. And even though he starts this conversation of knowing the Holy Spirit in a new way with this passage, there is so much more to come. But he begins to open that here in this amazing sermon where Jesus is teaching something new to his disciples on that day before he starts his journey to the cross. So let's hear God's word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me, does not keep my word. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I have just read from the most important book ever written. It's my privilege to testify that every word of it is true. So as we jump into this, Let's review very quickly the sermon so far. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Jesus says he will return, and Jesus says he is the way. And if you think back to last week, he says, if you had known me, you would know him. And you know me, therefore you know him, the Father. You have seen him because you know me and have seen me. So there is a deep, deep unity between the Father and the Son. And in today's passage, Jesus expands that. And through the Holy Spirit, he shows us that there is a deeper unity than we ever imagined between Jesus and between us. He explains how he's going to include his people in this amazing unity. Another way to think about that is he is including the people of God in the love that exists between the Father and the Son. So he's going to include his people in that love that exists between the Father and the Son. As we work ourselves through this passage, I want to give you three signposts to keep track of where we are. The first signpost is the agent of love. Second signpost is the foundation of love. And then the third signpost is evidence of love. And these are going to blur a little bit. They're not going to stay in their containers in a really clear, clean way, but we'll take those piece by piece as we watch Jesus' teaching unfold. And we begin with the agent of love. Meet the Spirit. So in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You love me. The evidence of love is defined. And I told you already, the containers aren't real solid. We kind of jumped to the evidence right off the beginning. But the evidence is there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then Jesus says what he's going to do. And I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. So Jesus says, I will ask. And the Father will give. And the Spirit is a helper. Another helper. The word being translated there is paraclete. And it is a multifaceted word, paraclete. And we could think of it as a comforter, as a counselor, as an advocate. Almost like a lawyer goes to court and fights on behalf of somebody else. The Holy Spirit sometimes is that kind of an advocate for us. He's a helper, he's an encouragement, and he gives exhortation. He's involved. That's a very wide meaning because the Spirit has a very wide role. And you see, if we will think, we will realize that we are in need of a helper. So I mentioned that I'm a dad of four. And if I lean into and think about the role of being a dad, I find out just how much I need a helper. I need a helper because sometimes I really blow it. And you need a helper because sometimes you really blow it. This summer, we were at Grand Canyon National Park. We had my youngest daughter, my wife, and I had worked a family vacation to a work trip that I needed to take, and we made a stop at Grand Canyon National Park. And it was sunset, and a bucket list kind of dream of my wife was to be at the Grand Canyon at sunset and watch the sunset and watch the shadows move across the canyon. It was beautiful. And a lot of other people wanted to see that very same thing. They must have been reading my wife's mail and realized, oh, her bucket list is a pretty good thing. You know, there were multitudes of people. And my daughter, Sarah, who I mentioned, is autistic, had a moment. And my wife and I both responded poorly to my daughter's moment. I won't describe exactly what happened, but we had to ask my daughter's forgiveness for the way we responded. We had the privilege of asking God's forgiveness because we had certainly not characterized God's attitudes and actions. My behavior put on display that I had turned myself into a little God who wanted his way. And I needed to repent of that. I blew it big. And I needed an advocate. I needed a helper. And the Holy Spirit is that for me, and the Holy Spirit is that for you. When I think about being a dad, sometimes there's just lingering disappointment of not being the dad I want to be in big ways and small ways. If you're a dad, you can relate. If you're not a dad, you can still relate. We need a helper. We need an advocate to deal with that disappointment. And then occasionally, we need an advocate because of false accusations. A long time ago, when this daughter that shouldn't be going to college was in preschool, we took a family vacation to Florida in February. Now, we left cold weather. It was like 65 degrees on the beach in Florida, and my kids wanted to play in the ocean. You know what they did? They played in the ocean, and they were fine. But the native Floridians were in parkas and mittens, walking down the beach like they were in Alaska and not in Florida. And the looks I got, you would have thought I was the worst parent on the face of the earth for being so foolish as to allow my kids to go into such a horrible, dangerous situation. They were fine. You know, as we live our life, false accusations, and I can share that one because it's trivial, but it captures the emotion of when people just don't understand and they level accusations at us. So we need a paraclete in that wide range of meaning, in that wide range of role. Each of us needs that. And by God's amazing grace, we have the promise of that in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, before that, Jesus is all of these things to his disciples. Meeting them when they blow it big. Meeting them when they're misunderstood. Meeting them in their disappointment. He is with them, taking care of them. And then he promises another. The Holy Spirit applies these things, and in him we experience them. So we experience Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, because he is another helper. That's the language that is used right there. He is the Spirit of truth. He is unknown to the world. But Jesus says, you know him. In the second half, verse 17, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. He dwells with you. And he will be in you. The forever advocate, the agent of love. That's who the Holy Spirit is. So as we continue down the road, we go to our next mile marker, which is the foundation of love. And the foundation of the love is together, not apart. Jesus begins in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You will not be orphans. Jesus says he will come. There is a promise here. And when we think about being an orphan, that can be rough. Because you might be an actual orphan. You may be a functional orphan, estranged from your parents, in need of connection. And Jesus meets us in our need. In Romans 8, verses 15 through 17, Paul writes, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus continues, says he's not going to leave us in orphans, and then he talks about the time a little bit in verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. The world will not see me, you will see me. You will live, because I live. Jesus is promising a life together with him. Foundation of love. He makes it a little clearer in verse 20. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. So this idea of union is repeated, and expanded, repeated, you will know that I am in the Father, Jesus says, and then he expands it. You will know that you are in me, and you will know that I am in you. So this is a much more explicit and full statement of our future union with Christ. It's made possible through the cross. That's why Jesus says it will happen. Jesus knows at this point, as he's telling them, that he's headed to the cross. When he goes to the cross, he'll open the door for this union to be put in place. And specifically declared here, if you notice, he goes both ways. He could have said just one or another, but he says both. You in me, and me in you. So when we think about you in me, us being in Jesus, that is a place of security. That is a place of position. If you read the New Testament, you'll see the little phrase, in Christ. Paul really likes in Christ. When we see that phrase, in Christ, it's like shorthand reminding us that we are in Jesus. So our position is in Jesus. Our security is in Jesus. We are in union with him. But he also talks the other way. Not only are we in Jesus, but Jesus is in us. He says, I will be in you. And this is a picture of intimacy and power. Because with the promise that Jesus is in us, it means we carry him with us into all of our disappointments. When I lost my cool on the edge of the Grand Canyon, Jesus was with me in intimacy and in power. Every difficulty you walk into, the power of Jesus is with you. He promises, I will be in you. So we have position and security because we're in Jesus. We have intimacy and power because Jesus is in us. That is a huge idea. That is an idea that we have to dwell in to fully understand. And I would encourage you to do that. It's the foundation of love. So we look at the agent of love, the Holy Spirit. We see the foundation of love, our union with Christ, anchored in Jesus' union with the Father. And now we look at the evidence of love, seeing love. And we pick that up in verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So whoever keeps the commandments loves me. He that loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and show myself to him. So that becomes the evidence of love. A cascade of evidence that begins when we obey and experience him. Remember, there's a context. This evidence comes in the security and position and the intimacy and power of the union with Jesus that's already in place. That is the foundation on which we obey and provide the evidence. question. Judas, not Iscariot. Well, if your name's Judas and you're a disciple, you really want to be identified as not Iscariot. Right? Judas Iscariot's the one that betrayed Jesus. So Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" How will you do it? How will you show yourself? How are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answers. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The promise is that my Father will love him. And then Jesus says, "We," that's the Father and the Son, "will come to him, and we will make our home with him." And the Spirit is the agent of this coming that is already not yet. That Jesus will make his home and live with us forever. Then in verse 24, Jesus explains, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So Jesus is talking a little more about the evidence. And then Jesus reminds them, "These aren't my words," Jesus says, "these are the Father's word. The Father who sent me," Jesus says, "they are not mine." So, the agent, the foundation, the evidence of God's love, of being wrapped in God's love. And so let's apply it. This is where we are so far. And the discussion about obedience and love shows that we do not earn God's love through works. Rather, we show the love we have for God through our obedience. And they are not the cause, they are the evidence. We are reflecting back the love of God to God. And this is a key component of the good news. Because the gospel invites us to live a full life glorifying God. Not simply to receive something and settle it. It's an empowering, life-giving message contained within the gospel. So the union of the Father and the Son emphasized because it's the foundation of our union with Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're not yet in Christ, I'm going to address you as a not yet believer. And I don't do that to push you away. I do that because I love you, if you are here and that is you. And I'm really glad you're here, if that is you. Because I believe it means that God's stirring something. So, I'm going to give you the opportunity to not remain not yet. So if that's you, if you're a not yet believer this morning, this is a warning by implication that an absence of obedience seen indicates an absence of love for God. If we don't love Him, do we really not? At stake is exclusion from this promise of union. If we miss the union, we remain orphans. God doesn't want anyone to have to remain an orphan. And the gospel invites us to enter into a relationship and cry, Daddy, Abba, and know Him. So we're called to keep the commands of Jesus, and in doing so we show our love. Our obedience is because of our love reflected back to Him who loved us first. Context and the power of obedience is union with Christ, experience through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit forever. And listen to that again. Context and power of this obedience is union with Jesus, experienced through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit forever. That is the good news. That is life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the foundation that was accomplished on the cross. The foundation of love. The foundation of union with Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that when You redeem us, when You give us new life, when You do the things You do, paying the price for our sins, removing our guilt, and giving us a status as adoption, adopted, beloved sons of Yours. That this comes with an intimate union with You. Us and Jesus, Jesus and us. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that applies this and makes it real to us, and that is our helper in all of the ways that we need that helper as an encourager, as an advocate, as a comforter. So, Father, we ask that our obedience would be on display. Father, we ask that it would be a sign to the world that we love You, and that You love us, and that there is an invitation to enter into this relationship. We thank You, Father, and we lift these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.